Today's shiur is Masechta Sota Daf Mem Dalad. We will begin on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, the last words on the Amud. At the end of the previous shiur, the Gemara had taught us a number of halachas that were said by Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. And now the Gemara completes this series of halachas that he said. V'amar Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Mace, a corpse, he says, Typhus Arba Amis Latuma. Anybody who enters within four amis of a mace becomes Tame. As the Rishonim explained, this is a Tuma Midrabanon, that Chazal were concerned that a person should not come too close to the mace and not recognize that he came so close that he touched the mace and therefore became Tame. So therefore Chazal said that whoever comes within four amis of the mace is Tameh. And says the Gemara, V'tana Tuna, we learned in a Mishnah a halacha that certainly corroborates what we just taught. As we have discussed, the Gemara in Masechet Baba Basra discusses at length that the way they would bury the dead was they would have a large underground chamber with holes in the wall of that underground chamber where they would bury Niftarim. Next to this chamber, there was a pit through which one would enter into this chamber. So it says in the Mishnah, Chotzer HaKever, if somebody standing in the courtyard of this chamber, Haimer B'Taychetahar, somebody standing in the courtyard of this chamber, he's not Tamei. He's only Tamei if he's in the chamber. For who? However, Beis Shammai's opinion is, that's only Shehebei Arba Amis, Dibri Beis Shammai. According to Beis Shammai, the person will not be Tamei if the courtyard is Dalar Amis big. Beis Hillaimrim, it doesn't have to be 4 Amis large, even if it's Arba Tfachim, even if the courtyard is 4 tefachim, it's considered a separate area, and therefore the person, even though he's standing in that courtyard next to this chamber, will not be tameh. But continues the Braisa in explaining Beis Hillel's opinion. B'medvar amurim shepischa milmalo apischem netzad divrei hakol arba amis. As the Rishonim explain, there were two ways how one could enter into this courtyard, into the chamber. One was that there were steps that you could enter and exit through, and one was you had to climb up and down the walls of the pit. So the Braisa now is saying that if you have to climb up and down, then you have to have only Dalet Fachim, but if it has steps, you need Dalet Amis. Ask the Gemara, Klapalaya. It just makes sense, just the opposite. Adrabba, Minatzad, if there are steps, Midad Vinafik, it's easy to enter and exit, and therefore it should be that even if the Chotzer has just Dalet Fachim, it should be considered a separate area. Mamala, but if you have to climb up and down, then there's a real concern you're going to come close to this chamber, and there you should need Dalet Amis. Says the Gemara, indeed, we have to correct what it says. Ella, b'madva mamurim, when the Beis Hillel say that Dalet Fachim is adequate, shepischem netzad, when there are steps, aval pischem mamala, if one has to climb up and down the walls, there Beis Hillel agrees that you need Arba Amis. You have to have 4 Amis. Well, what do we see? V'hani mili chotza kever. When you have a chotza, when you have a courtyard, and you have the chamber, the mesayim mechitzta, you're able to separate and distinguish clearly, this is where the mace is, this is where the corpse is not. That's when you could come even within Dalet Fachim. Am Meis Ba'alma, if there's just a corpse, there the halacha is that toughest anything around within Dalet Amis of the Meis, anybody who comes within Dalet Amis of the Meis is considered tummy. The Meiri says, based on this Gemara, similarly would be the din, says the Meiri, if you had a mace, as most people who are buried nowadays have a matseva on top of their kever. Because once you have a matseva, it clearly indicates that this is where the mace is, separating him from everywhere else, and therefore, unless you're under the same oil, for example, you're under a tree that is also over the mace, you, says the Meiri, even according to our Gemara, one could come within Dalet Amis of the mace. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, Mi'e Isha She'iris Isha, that if somebody married a woman, then he does, in his Shana Rishayna, he doesn't go to war. Tana Rabbanan, and we learned in a Braisa, Asha Iris, Echem Maris is a Psula, it makes no difference if he did Erisa with a Psula, Echem Maris is Almana, or if he did Erisa with Almana, Echet Shemeris Yavam, or if this woman to him is a Shemeris Yavam, Vafilo of Chamish Achim, even in a situation where there are five brothers, or Meis Echem and Melchama, and one of them died in battle, so now this woman falls to the other brothers as for Yibam, the Loch is Kulan Chayzrim. They all the other remaining brothers now go back from the battle. And as the Mefarshim explained, even though we've learned in Masechta Yevamis, the Loch is Mitzvah Agodol Shebe'echov L'Yabim, that the mitzvah that the oldest brother should do Yibam, that doesn't mean that there is no mitzvah on the other brothers to do Yibam. As we have learned, if the oldest brother doesn't want to do Yibam, one of the other brothers could do Yibam, or as we have learned, the halacha is that the if one of the younger brothers jumps ahead and does Yibam, the Yibam is effective, and that's why they're all considered now exempt from being in the army. The pasuk, instead of writing in the pasuk Loi Lokach, the pasuk says Loi Lokcha, to teach us prat l'aman al kain gadol, aman al gadol gadol, a grush of a chalutz al kain hedyet, a mamzeres from the sin al Yisrael, a bas Yisrael al masl al mamzer. Anybody who has one of these prohibited marriages doesn't go home. The Mefarshim ask, of course, somebody who kain gadol who married almana, she's not his wife, she's not supposed to be married to her. Why would we think that he returns home? So Mefarshim answer, that we would think that maybe he's allowed to return home in order to divorce her. Teaches us the pasuk that even though he of course must divorce her, it isn't a reason for him to be exempt from being in battle. The Mefarshim also speak about a chalutz l'kain hedyet for all the other cases that we just mentioned in the Braisa, a situation where they're not allowed to be married midaraisa. However, chalutz l'kain hedyet is only an issa d'rabbanan. So how is it included here? So some suggest that throughout Shas, the Gemara always puts together a grush of a chalutz l'kain hedyet, even though grush l'kain hedyet is an issa d'raisa, chalutz l'kain hedyet is only an issa d'rabbanan. Others suggest that since this is a mechamis rishus, the rabbanan have a right to decide who should stay in battle and who should go home, and the Chazal determined that a chalutz l'kain hedyet should go home. Says the Gemara, Leimet the like of Yosef Galili, should we say that our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Yosef Galili? For we're going to learn in the Mishnah on the bottom of our Amid, the Rabbi Yosef Galili, Ha'amar, the Pasuk says, Hayore v'arach ha'levav, that any zemes yarem averi shviyadai, anyone who is a balaver, anybody who's done a sin, has to leave the battlefront. These people certainly did a sin by marrying such women. Answers the Gemara, Filotemer of Yosef Galili. The Braisa could even follow the opinion of Yosef Galili, because we learn, Rava taught us, Dama Rava, Loilam Enachai Vachiva. A person, a Kayan marrying a Grusha, a Kayan Gol marrying an Amana, is not considered that he did the Aveira until he actually did Bia. My Tam, why is that the reason for that? Lo Yikach, because the Torah, when it says Lo Yikach, says Lo Yichalal. that he's not considered mechalel, he's not considered that he profaned his kahuna until he did bia. Shemhachi ain't a leika, and therefore says Rava, the halacha is that he didn't do an aver at sheyivah. So what happened here was that he had erusin with these women, but he didn't yet have bia. So it's not considered that he's a bal aveira, but still the Torah says that since this is not the marriage that the Torah accepts, it's not a reason that he has no right to go home. Mefarshim ask, why doesn't the Gemara give a simple answer that is referring to a situation that he did tshuva? So Mefarshim say it can't be, we can't explain that he did tshuva, because if he did tshuva, the only time it's considered that he did tshuva is if he actually divorced her. If he's still married to her, if he's still oris to her, it can't be considered that he did tshuva. The Bar Yitzchak points out that perhaps it's referring to a situation that the Kohen or the Kohen Gadol was not aware that he's not allowed to be married to such a woman, and therefore it's a shagig, and that's why maybe he's not considered a Baal Aveira. Says the Bar Yitzchak, since the Gemara did not give this teretz, from here we see that even if somebody did an Aveira b'shoigeg, he's still considered a Baal Aveira according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, that should not go to the battle. The Chasam Sofer explains, perhaps it's referring to a situation that he was mekadosh her, that a shliach was mekadosh the woman on his behalf, and he wasn't aware of it, and that's why he should be considered a Baal Aveira. Explains the Chasam Sofer, Memonfshach, if the shliach knew that this person was a kohen and still took a woman who a kohen is not allowed to marry as the kohen's wife, there's a concept of ein shliach b'dvar aveira. If, on the other hand, the shliach was not aware that the kohen, that this person that he was doing kedushin on his behalf was a kohen, and therefore the kedushin, so there's no issue of ein shliach l'dvar aveira, the kedushin is effective, and it's effective that it's considered that the mashaleach, that the person that the kedushin was done on his behalf, did an aveira, even though he didn't actually do the kedushin. The continue the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, the pasuk says asher bona asher nota asher iris. The Torah uses this order to teach us. Limda to Torah derecheret. The Torah is teaching us how to act. First a person should build a home and then afterwards plant a vineyard, and only afterwards fakach yisa, and only afterwards he should get married. As the Mashal explains, getting married is the most important of these three activities: marriage, building a house, and planting a vineyard. Why is marriage mentioned last? To teach us, first build a house, then a vineyard, and only then get married. Din Yaakov, along the same lines, explains as follows. We are referring, in these psukim, he says, to an individual who is leaving the front. He should not be in battle because he has agmas nefesh. He has mental anguish because of his situation. Certainly, what causes the most anguish is that the person just got married and he may never be with his wife. The house, the vineyard, come afterwards. So why does the pasuk mention the wife last? It must be because the Torah has another lesson that it wants to teach us. It wants to teach us the lesson: first build a house, then plant a vineyard, and only then get married. The Mefarshim also point out that the Gemara says ach kach yisa isha. However, when the Gemara speaks about building the home or planting the vineyard, the Gemara does not use the word v'achakach, because the house and the vineyard have to precede the marriage. But the building the house and the vineyard, it really doesn't make a difference in what sequence they were done. You could build the house and then the vineyard, or the vineyard and then the house. The point is that they precede getting married. And in fact, I saw the Shaul Satshuvus Shevet Alevi quotes the Shaul Satshuvus Chikrei Lev that says, we know that a boy becomes bar mitzvah when he's 13 years old. So he's mechuyev b'mitzvahs as soon as he's 13 years old. Yet, getting married, we know, ben shmoneh esreh l'chuppah, that he doesn't get married until he's 18. And the question is, why Doesn't he do this mitzvah of getting married, a prur revu, like all other mitzvahs, as soon as he becomes bar mitzvah? So he says that it's because of our Gemara. Because our Gemara says that a person shouldn't get married until he's prepared. That's why we give him 5 years between the bar mitzvah and the marriage. However, the Chasam Sofer says that's only if he taka prepares himself, or once he's of age, even if he doesn't have the financial means, of course he must get married. Similar, as the Pais can say, that let's say you have someone who's nebuch ani, who's a poor person. He can't build a house. He can't plant a vineyard. He's certainly not exempt from getting married. Also says the Shevet HaLevi, that in the communities where parents typically support their children after they get married, while the son is learning kollel, there this din obviously doesn't apply. Says the Gemara, "V'af Shlomo Amar b'Chokhmasoy." Shlomo Melech in his wisdom says the same in Mishlei. The pasuk says in Mishlei, "Chochem b'chutz malachtecha," prepare outdoors your work. "V'atada b'sada loch achov nisa be'secha." Then prepare yourself in the field, and afterwards build your house. So explains the Gemara. Hachem b'chutz malachtecha. First, prepare your house. That refers to a bayis. That refers to the house. V'tad b'sadol l'cha zekerem. That means building the having a vineyard. Ach u'benisa b'secha zu isha married. So Mefarshim asks that the Mishnah says in Masechta Yudayim, there's a debate if Kehelis was said Baruch HaKadosh, or Kehelis only represents the wisdom of Shlomo Melech. But everybody agrees in the Mishnah that Mishlei was said Baruch HaKadosh. So why is the Gemara attributing the Pasuk in Mishlei to Chachmasai, to the wisdom of Shlomo? So one pshat that I saw is that B'Chachmasai means the B'Chachmas HaAdam. The Pasuk in Mishlei is teaching us how does a wise man act, and the Gemara gives, the Pasuk gives us the proper order. Another pshat that I saw is that even though Mishlei was certainly said Beruach HaKadosh, but the way it was communicated, the words that were used, were certainly the Chachma of Shlomo, that he knew how to word it with such great wisdom. And another pshat, which really answers another question, the Gemara already proved from a pasuk in the Torah that this is the proper order. So why do we need to bring a raya? Why do we need to corroborate what the Torah tells us with a pasuk from Mishlei? The answer is that we really find a contradiction in Psukim in the Torah. On one hand, the Torah, as we just learned, says build a house, a vineyard, and then get married. But in the Teichacha, the Torah says just the opposite order. First the wife, and then the house and the vineyard. Shlomo HaMelech, in his great wisdom, identified that the proper order is the Parshas HaShoitrim, the Parsha that we just learned, first the house and the vineyard, and then getting married. Dover Acher, another way of explaining those Pesukim, Hachem b'chutz malachtecha, it's a Mikra, the first learned Chumash. V'atada b'sadaloch is referring to Mishnah. That then a person should first learn Chumash and Mishnayis, and then he should learn Gemara. Another way of explaining the pasuk: Hachem b'chutz malachtecha zu mikra u'mishnah, v'tada b'sadaloch zu Gemara. Acher v'nisa b'secha elu masam tovim. Person has to, besides learning Chumash, Mishnayis, and Gemara, has to act properly. Rabbi Lezer ben Oshab Yosef Aglili Omer, Hachem b'chutz malachtecha zu mikra mishnah b'gemara, v'tada b'sadaloch elu masam tovim. Achav nisa v'secha drosh v'kabel schar, and as the Miri explains, drosh v'kabel schar, what the pasuk means to say is that after a person, only after a person has learned Chumash, Mishnayis, and Gemara, and had Maisim Toivim, then, and only then, is he in the category of drosh, that he could teach others v'kabel schar, that he could influence others. First, a person has to perfect himself before he comes on to influence and teach others. The Mashah says that that these three pshatim that we just learned, these last three pshatim in explaining the pasuk, represent a machlokes. What is the most important thing a person is supposed to do? The first shita held that the most important madrega a person is supposed to reach is to learn Gemara. The second opinion held that a person has to come to the madrega of Maisim Tovim. His learning has to lead him to act properly. And the third opinion held that is teaching us that a person, Deroish Kabbalah Schar, he says, refers to learning Kabbalah. Only a person who has already mastered Chumash, Mishnayis, and Gemara and acts properly, he then and only then may he begin to learn Kabbalah. The Mishnah taught us, Velish Ein Chayzrim, the following people may not return. Habayna Beishar, somebody built a gatehouse or a gallery, Tana. However, we learned in a Braisa, and Haisabai Dimas Acher, if he added a single, even a single row of bricks, that's considered a new home and Chayzer. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah said that if somebody built a house on its original place, it's not considered a Bayis Chadosh. Comes the Braisa to say that's only if he only rebuilt it in the exact same form. If you added a row of bricks, it's not the same home, and even Rabbi Yehuda will agree it's considered Bona Bayis Chadosh. Similarly, says the Yad Shaul, that let's say he took a house, demolished it, and took the materials and rebuilt the house, but the new house that he rebuilt is not on the same spot as the original house, it's, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that it's considered a Bona Bayis Chadosh. Rabbi Lezer Oimer, Af Abona Bayis Levon and Bisharon, if somebody built a brick house in the Sharon, Lo Yechayzer would not return from battle. Tana, Nesh Mechach Nesher Pamayim B'Shvua, because the ground in Sharon was very weak, and the houses had to be rebuilt twice in a span of 7 years, it's not considered a Bayis Chadosh for which you return from battle. Ve'elush Ein Zozim Mekamah, the following people, the Mishnah identified at the end of the Mishnah, not only don't they go to battle, but they don't even go to the border to hear the words of the Kohanim, the Shoitrim, they just remain at home. Ba'an Abayis Chadosh, if somebody built a new home, v'chanochai, and it's still within the first year, etc. Tanabon, Isha Chadosha, we learned that if somebody got married, he doesn't even go out. Einle Elish Chadosha, a newly married wife, Amana Grusha Minayim, how do we know if somebody married an Almana or a Grusha, the same din applies? Tamaloymi Isha Bikamakam, any type of wife. Im Kema Tamaloymer Isha Chadosha, what is the Torah teaching us with Isha Chadosha? To teach us Misha Chadosha Loy, that the wife is new to him. Yotza Machsa Grushasai, if somebody takes back a woman who he divorced from the Suin, we explained for the Minchas Chinuch, Shein Chadosh Eloi, she's not considered his new wife, and he doesn't leave the battle, the army, because of her. Tana Abonin, La Yotze Betzava, Yochel Betzava Hu De La Yotze, that he doesn't go to the army, Ava Yaspik Mayim Amazon, he does participate in supplying food and drink to the soldiers, V'sak Adrochim, where he has to fix the roads, Tamaloymer La Yava L'chol Dover, he doesn't have any, the army doesn't have any claim on him. He doesn't go at all. Yochel Shneim Arba, Afaban Abayis Loi Chanochai, that also an individual built a new home, but hasn't moved into it yet. Not the Karm V'Lachiloi, where he has this field, but he didn't redeem it yet. Eris Isha V'Loi L'Kocha, or he did Eris and not yet Nesuin, that he too doesn't participate in any way in the army. Tamaloymer, that's why the Pasuk uses the words Olav, all of it, however, these individuals who already got married, you don't put into the army. But other people, the people who had Erisin, who built a house and then move in, etc., do join the army, but not actually participating in battle. Ask the Gemara, if the Pasuk already says, that he's not allowed to go to battle, why does the Pasuk again mention that he doesn't go to army? Lavra loves to teach us that he's over Shnei Nedarim, Shnei Lavim, that if somebody like this does go to battle, he's over two Averis. The Mechitz Chinuch asks that why doesn't the Rambam or anyone suggest that if such an individual who got married, etc., goes to the army, that he should get Malkus? It's a lav sheyesh by Maisa. He wasn't supposed to go to the army, and he went. So the Chazon Yecheskel, or Cheskel Abramsi, says a beautiful teretz. He says, we know that for a lav she'ein by Maisa, when there's no act involved, there is no Malkus. He says, here, it's not the going to war or not going to war is not the mitzvah aveira. The person is supposed to be mesameach, supposed to be rejoice with his wife. Rejoicing is a lav she'ein by Maisa, and therefore there is no Malkus. Another pshat that Farshim give is that sometimes being urged to go to battle doesn't require an act. The general who suggests that he goes to war is only speaking, and we know speaking is considered a lav she'ein by Maisa. Continues the Mishnah. The Yosra Shoytrim Ladab Al-Am, and they tell the people, Mi Ish Hayar V'Rach Alevov, should not go to battle. Rekiva Oima, Hayar V'Alach Alevov, what is the explanation of Yar V'Alach P'mevov? Kimashmo, as the simple explanation means. Sheni Yoch Alam V'Kishre M'chama, we're referring to an individual who can't go to battle. Ulira Is Chav Shlufoy, or see swords. Such a person is exempt from going to war. Yosef Glili, however, says, Hayar V'Rach Alevov, Zah Mesiyar Men Averish B'Yodai, is referring to an individual who's concerned that he did Averis. Why? How do we explain that that's Pshat in the Pasuk? So Farshim explained the two Pshat to my soul. One Pshat is Hayar V'Rach Alevov. Seems to be a redundancy to teach us, you know why he's a Yare, you know why he's scared, because Rach Alevov, he's concerned about the Averis that he did. Another pshat is that, as we know, we say in Krishna B'chol Avavcha, and the Gemara said B'chol Avavcha, B'shnei Yitzrecha, the Yetz Toiv and the Yetz Ahara. So if the Pasuk is using the word Levov, it's obviously referring also to the Yetz Ahara, such a person should not go to battle. The Farsh should also point out that it says here, Menaveirois Shebiyodai. What does it mean? Shebiyodai. So the Mefarshim explain only for Averis that a person actually did is the halacha that he go, that he's exempt from going to battle. But let's say the person only had a machshava to do an Avera, but he didn't actually do the Avera, if he didn't actually do the Avera, that person is not considered, according to Rabbi Glili, a person who should not go to battle. Lefikach, says the Mishnah. The Torah mentioned all of these people, the person who got married, built a home, planted a vineyard, Shiach's Beglolim. As Mefarshim explained, we have been discussing that these people, as we learned in the previous Mishnah, went out to the border, heard the Mashiach Muhammad's speech, and went back home. And the question is obvious. Why does he have to go and hear and go back? Let him not go in the first place. The answer is, because amongst the people who go back are people who did an Avera, and the person who did an Avera that knows that he should not join the army will be embarrassed to leave because everybody will recognize that he did Averis. But now that amongst the people that are going, that are there at the border and are returning home are people who had heard, who built a house, a vineyard, got married, and he mingles together with all those individuals, so it won't be noticeable that he's leaving because he did an Avera, and therefore the Torah specifically said that it should be done in this fashion. Says the Gemara further, Rav Yosi Omer, Amon al Kohen Gadol, Grush v'Chalutz al Kohen Hedyot, Mamzeres from the Sin of Yisrael, Bas Yisrael, Mamzel Nosen. These are all examples of people who did an Avera, and therefore are in the category of Yar V'Rach HaLevav. The Gemara Mitzvah Shem will explain what is the machlokes between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yosef Glili. They seem to be saying the same thing. The pasuk continues, v'chayuk echlois ha-shaitrim l'dabar al-om u'foktu sari tzvois b'roi sh'om u'v'kevish al-om. They put people at the front and at the back. Megide, mamidim, says the Mishnah, is a kifin lefneim. They were put people in the front, that if somebody, chas v'shalom, if a soldier fell, to pick him up. And I saw tshuva from the Tzitz Eliezer, who says that we know that even though a person is supposed to save, every Jew is obligated to save another Jew, in a situation of sakonis nefashis, that if by my going to save another Jew, I put myself into sakonis nefashis, the halach is, I'm not obligated to do that. However, says the Tzitz Eliezer, in a situation of battle, the halach is different. And even if there's a soldier that fell, and he's being shot at, and if I go try to save him, I'm putting myself in danger, which normally the halacha says not to do. In battle, I do go save my fellow soldier, even if it involves sakonas nefashis. V'cherim, v'chureim, and they had other people standing behind the army. V'kshilim shabazim b'yedeim, and they had iron axes in their hand. V'kolam avakish lachzer, if anybody intended to run away from the battle to desert, harshus b'yodoy l'kapeach ha-shoykev, they had the right to sever the deserter's legs. Shetchilas nisa nefila, running away is the beginning of all the problems. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, nos Yisrael lefnei plishtim, Yisrael ran away from the plishtim. V'gam magefa g'doy l'hoisvam, and that's when there became a terrible magefa. L'hal oimer v'yenusa anchi Yisrael lefnei plishtim v'yiplu chalolim. And as the Mefarshim explained, because when people start running away from the battle, it causes that everybody should be demoralized, and it could cause terrible consequences. So the person who runs away is in the category of a roidef. He's putting everybody else into danger. And the halacha is, when we're dealing with a roidef, one may damage a roidef who's trying to harm me. The medvar amurim, says the Mishnah, all these halachas were said b'mechemes rishus, by Mechemes Rishus. Av Mechemes Mitzvah, and the Gemara will identify what this means. Hakl Yoisim, Afil Chosin Mechedroi, Vekal Mechuposai. The Chosin leaves, the Chosin and Kala go out. On Rabbi Yehuda, the Madar Amurim, the Mechemes Mitzvah. Av Mechemes Choiva, Hakl Yoisim, Afil Chosin Mechedroi, Vekal Mechuposai. The Mepharshim point out that the Chosin, who's obligated in these situations to go to war, is only after he does the bia. First he should do bia and then go to battle. Furthermore, the Chazon Ish says that even though our Mishnah is exempting a chosin from going to battle for a Mechemes Rishus, still, if there is a Mechemes Rishus and Klal Yisrael is in danger, they're not doing well, and they need the extra soldiers, even though this began as a Mechemes Rishos, even the Chosin should go participate. The Mefarshim asks, the Meches Chinuch asks, the Chinuch says that women are not obligated in the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek to eradicate the name of Amalek because women don't go to battle. Ask the Meches Chinuch that our Mishnah clearly teaches us that the Kala goes out from her room to join a battle. So we see that women did go to battle. So why is the Chinuch exempting them from the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek? So the Pashup Shat, the Mepharshim say, is what he means to say is that since the Chosin is leaving to go to battle, so the Kala will also leave. She's only there because of the Chosin. If there's no Chosin, she has nothing to remain for. Another Pshat is that the Kala doesn't actually join a battle. It was the job of the women to supply them with food and drink, to do other non-battle related work, help work that was required but wasn't part of the actual battle. Another Pshat is that the Kala maybe joins the chassan because they're shana rishana and they should stay together, but she doesn't actually participate in the war. And yet another pshat is that typically women are exempt from participating in the war, but there are situations where women should did do important acts of war. We find in the history of Klal Yisrael. What the chinuch means is usually they're not members of the army, but under certain circumstances, we certainly rely on them and ask them to join. So the Mishnah quoted both the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Yosi, who both spoke about that somebody who did an aveira should not go to war. So ask the Gemara, my ikka bain Rabbi Yosi Aglili Rabbi Yosi, my ikka bain Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yosi Aglili. So what is the machloikus between these two opinions? Answers the Gemara, ikka benayu aveira drabbanan. If somebody only did an aveira drabbanan, according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, such a person would not go to battle. According to Rabbi Yosi, it's only aveira deraisa. Ask the Gemara, kaman azla hadatanya. According to whom do we understand the following braisa that says, Soch ben tefillah lo tefillah, so that somebody spoke between putting on the tefillin sheyan and the tefillin sheroish, aveir hi biyodai, he has committed a sin, for which he should leave the battlefront. Command, this represents the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Aglili. And there are three ways of understanding this Gemara, which the Mefarshim say really relate to three halachas, three opinions in how one acts with putting on the tefillin shayyan and tefillin shorosh. There's one opinion that under all circumstances, the bracha of laniach tefillin is made when one puts on the tefillin shayyan, and the bracha of our mitzvah tefillin is put on when one puts on the tefillin shorosh. And that's the halacha under all circumstances, even if one spoke between the tefillin shayyan and tefillin shorosh. There's another opinion that if you didn't speak between the tefillin shayyan and tefillin shorosh, you only make a bracha of laniach tefillin before you put on the tefillin shayyan. And if you spoke, then you make al mitzvah tefillin before you put on the tefillin shorosh. Otherwise, you don't. And there's a third opinion that says as follows. Before the tefillin shayyan, you put on a laniach tefillin. And if you didn't speak, you don't make any other bracha. However, if you speak between the tefillin shayyad and the tefillin shorosh, then when you put on the tefillin shorosh, you're going to have to make two brachas, al laniach tefillin and al mitzvah tefillin. So now we could understand this Gemara according to these different opinions. The Tosfos HaRosh says that you always make these two separate brachas, whether you spoke or you didn't speak. And what the Gemara is saying is, but you're not supposed to speak. And somebody who even did such an aveira of speaking between the tefillin shayyad and tefillin shorosh, it's a reason that he should leave the army. The other opinions, however, say that for speaking alone, he wouldn't have to leave the army. The concern, however, is that he may forget to make the brachas that he normally doesn't make if he doesn't speak. Therefore, since there's this concern, that such an individual should leave the army. From here we see, point out the Paiskim, that even the people who put on tefillin d'Rabbeinu Tam, and they don't make a bracha, new brachas, when they put on the tefillin d'Rabbeinu Tam, still we're learning that you're never supposed to speak between the tefillin shayyad and tefillin shorosh, even if you're not making a bracha. Continues the Gemara. Man tana l'hod tana rabbanan, who's the tana of the following braisa? Shama kol kronos for his siyah. If somebody trembled when he heard the sound of the kronos, hanofas trace of the corns, hanofas trace of the sinner, or if you heard when the shields were clashing, tzichtuch harovas umayim shosin loya barakov, if he hears the swords clashing and he starts to urinate, chayza command, leimuk Rabbi Akiva hi, this follows the opinion of Akiva, v'loy Rabbi Yosi Aglili, it doesn't follow the opinion Rabbi Yosi Aglili, because according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, he explains Hayorei Varach Alevov as somebody who's worried about a virus, not somebody who's scared. Says the Gemara, Baha, in this case, I feel Rabbi Yosi Aglili might. Even Rabbi Yosi Aglili will agree that such an individual who's scared should leave the army. If he's scared, he could adversely influence the other soldiers. This is Machloikis HaMefarshim, how far does Rabbi Yosef Glili say that a person who's scared is exempt? Some explain that Rabbi Yosef Glili completely concurs with Rabbi Kiva, and anyone who's scared should leave the army. However, the Lechem Mishnah says that what Rabbi Yosef Glili is only referring to a situation where a person is so frightened that he's scaring other people. That's the person who returns from battle. But if he's not that scared that he's frightening other people, so according to Rabbi Kiva, anyone who's scared should leave. According to Rabbi Yosef Glili, only someone who's in the category of being scared that he scares other people. I saw a vart from the Kedushas Tzion. Hayare Varachal of Eivav represents the Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's the first letter. The first letters of these words are Yud Kei Vav Kei. However, it's not Yud Kei Vav Kei in the proper order. Someone who really fears Hashem is not scared of anything else. This person who's scared is because he doesn't really have the true Yerushalayim. He doesn't have the name of Hashem lined up properly. The Meches Chinuch, the Stipler, asks a question. We quoted at the beginning of our perek the opinion of the Rambam, who holds that someone who is frightened is over a laugh. So ask the Stipler, this individual who is frightened is being over an Aveira. And according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, any Baal Aveira is exempt from battle. So why do we have to say that Rabbi Yosef Glili agrees with Rabbi Kiva? He should be exempt because he's doing the Aveira of being frightened. So one teretz that the Stipler gives is that the Isser of being frightened only begins once the war began. Here we're referring before the war began, so there isn't yet an Isser of Hayare Varach Halevav, of being frightened. Another teretz that the Stipler gives, I saw Rabbi Yosef says the same teretz, is that only an individual who's scared because of the battle is over the lav, according to the Rambam. But let's say you have an individual who by nature is a nervous, frightened individual. He doesn't fall under the category. He isn't over the lav, according to the Rambam, and that won't be considered a balaveira, according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili. The Farshim point out about the aveira of speaking between the Tefillin Shayad and Tefillin Shoroish. So one pshat that I saw from the chart of the Rebbe, the Tefillin Shayad represents mitzvahs that a person does. Tefillin Shoroish represent mitzvahs that a person thinks about, machshava, that he has to do with his heart and his mind. Hasach, somebody who differentiates between these two types of mitzvahs, is considered a Baal Aveira. Another pshat is, sometimes a person hears a speech about doing a mitzvah, giving tzedakah, and then when it comes to translate doing that mitzvah with his hands, he cools off. Hasach, Tefillin Shayal, Tefillin Shoroish, he separates what his heart and mind tell him to do, and what he actually does is considered an Aveira. V'yekechleis ha-shoitrim, as the Gemara, the Mishnah said, b'nei shetchilas nisa nefila, it should say, b'nei shetchilas nisa nefila, b'nei shetchilas nefila, nisa meboile, it should say just the opposite. And says the Gemara, indeed you should change the words Eimem Neshet Chilas Nefila, the beginning of the downfall, Nisa, as we explain when they start running away. We had a Machlokes Tanakam Rav Yehuda. Amar Rav Yochanan Rishus the Rabbanon Zui Mitzvah Rav Yehuda. Explained the Mefarshim that they're not really arguing what they both agree in which situation he leaves and which situations he doesn't leave. Just what the Rabbanon call Rishus, Rabbi Yehuda calls Mitzvah, and Mitzvah the Rabbanon, and what the Rabbanon call Mitzvah, Zuchayv the Rabbi Yehuda calls Chayva. Amma Rava, and Rava explains, Mechamas Yeshua Lichbosh, when Yeshua went to capture Eretz Yisrael, the Rehakol, everybody agrees that that's a Chayva, that that's considered an obligatory war. Mechamas Beis David, when David went to capture extra land around Tzayva, the Rehakol, that's Rishus. Ki pligi, lemuta av dekachavim deloy laisalei. A war that's conducted to prevent the goyim from coming upon Klal Yisrael. Mar, Rabbi Yehuda calls that a mitzvah. Omar and Rabbanan call that a rishos. What's the nafkamina? That means like this. Everybody will agree that by the Melchemes David, the chosen doesn't go out. Everybody will agree by Melchemes Yeshua, he does go out. Everybody will agree that the Melchemes of the Chavim, which is only preventive, the chosen doesn't go out. Just what's the difference that Rabbi Yehuda calls it a mitzvah and the Rabbanan call it a rishos? Nafkamina, loisik b'mitzvah shepatim in a mitzvah. We know the rule is, if somebody's involved in one mitzvah, he's parted from another mitzvah. The question is this considered an oisik b'mitzvah that's parted in a mitzvah? Hanulach m'shuch m'chama, hanulach m'shuch m'chama, hanulach m'shuch m'chama. We gotta begin learning the perek of Egla Rufa, the last perek of our Masechta, that discusses that if a corpse was found, what is the halacha? And as the Mefarshim explain, the Gesher Chaim says this, we find that both in the Torah and in our Gemara, the subject of Meshuch Mechama and the subject of Egla Rufa are next to each other to teach us that a person in war kills. And there's a concern that when one goes to war, he will become callous and not value human life. Therefore, the Torah teaches us right away the parasha of Egla Rufa, how every life is so important. Says the Mishnah, Egla Rufa was said b'loshan HaKadosh. Shnemek yot ki matzachal ba'adama v'yot zekanecha shaftecha. Shloish mebezna ha'golav shirushlaim. Three members of the Sanhedrin are Yotzim. They appointed three members of the Sanhedrin. Yudai mechamisha. Shnema zekenecha ishnayim. Vishaftecha ishnayim. Vein bezdin shakl. A bezdin was never an even number of people. Masifin leim oid echad. Machlokes, why they added one more person. Either because, as we're going to learn, they were going to measure. And sometimes there could be a disagreement. So we have to have an odd number of people. So we should have one side prevail. We, even if this is not something that there's going to be an argument about it, we're dealing with a fact. Still, a bezdin by definition always has to have an odd number of individuals. Nimtza tamei begol, if the mace was found covered with a pile of stones, or tolu bi'in, or hanging from a tree, or shetzofa pnei mayim, or floating on the surface of water, loya arfim. They didn't do the procedure of Egla Rufa. Shenema, because the pasuk says ba'adoma in the ground, v'leitamim begol, not covered by a pile of stones. Nafel, v'leitalu be'ilon, not hanging on a tree. Besada, v'leitzofa pnei mayim, not floating on water. Nimtzach samach l'sfar, if the corpse was found near the border of Eretz Yisrael, or le'ir sheruba ev t'kachavim, or to a city that's mostly non-Jewish. And Farshim explain, what does it mean if it's a city non-Jewish? That means, some explain that if one of the cities nearby was a city that's not a Jewish city, we bechlal don't do the Egla Rufa procedure. Others say that we do it, but we don't consider that city as one of the cities. Or le'ish she'en be'bezdin, or to a city where there is no bezdin. Mefarshim explain what is this, why if a city has no bezdin, there is no din of Egla Rufa. Because the Gemara says that people are killed because people don't because bezdin doesn't do proper din. So here, if that's the case, that city can't be exempt. That city can't be part of the Egla Rufa process. The first mask, we know that the pasuk says shayftim shaytrim titin l'chol b'chol shirecha, that every city had to have a bezdin. So how can we have a situation that there is no bezdin? So the first explain, it's referring to a situation that they have a bezdin, but they only have a bezdin of three members, not a bezdin of 23 members. Then lo yoy orphan, ein moedin el irsha esh bezdin, because we only measure to a city that has a bezdin. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah began teaching us that Egla Rufa said b'loshin kodesh. As the Gemara might come, the Mishnah didn't really bring any proof to that halacha. Amravu ha'chi kamar, shenem v'anu v'amru. The pasuk says here v'anu v'amru lahalun oimer regarding the klolus and brachus on har grizim and har evil. It says v'anu levim v'amru man iya ha'amur lahalun b'loshin kodesh af kam b'loshin kodesh. Say the Egla Rufa kaitzed. That's the beginning of the Mishnah. And then the Mishnah continues to say exactly what happened. So the Mishnah says, Kimatza chol ba'adama, v'yotza zekanecha v'shaftrecha, shloishim ibezna agolish v'shlam ha'yotza. Yudaim, it wasn't three, it was Chamisha. Tanabonim. V'yotzu Zekenecha v'Shvetecha. Zekenecha represents two individuals, Shnayim. Shvetecha represents another two individuals. And as we just explained, Ein Bezdin Shoko, we can't have an even number of members. Masifin Aleim Erecha, we add one more member, Harein Kan Chamisha. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Shimraim Zekenecha, Shnayim. You only take two people. And because Zekenecha means two people, and because of the rule of Ein Bezdin Shoko, Masifin Aleim Erechad, Harein Kan Shloshu, we have three individuals. Ask the Gemara, Rav Shimon Nami Hoksiv v'Shavtecha. The pasuk used the word v'Shavtecha, which seems to indicate another two individuals. Answers the Gemara, Humi Bailei Lami Yichadnish v'Shavtecha. That the people who go out have to be members of the Sanhedrin. Rav Yehuda, how does Rav Yehuda know that then? It says the pasuk could have said Ziknei, but the pasuk saying Zikanecha teaches us that it has to be members of the Sanhedrin. So it could have said Zikne, which would have also meant two. Zikanecha teaches us both that you have two and members of the Sanhedrin. Rav Shimon, how does Rav Shimon say? Answers Rav Shimon, Ikas Rachmana Zikne, if the Torah had only used the word Zikne, have me not feel Zikne Shuk. Any elder, even not from the Sanhedrin, Kas Rachmana Zikanecha. Ikas Rachmana Zikanecha, if the Torah only used the word Zikanecha, having me not feel a Sanhedrin Katana, even members of a 23 member Bezdin, not the Sanhedrin Gedoyla, Kos Rachmana Shavtecha, Mi'chodin Shiv Shavtecha. Yehuda, now that we know that the word Zikanecha is coming strictly to teach us that it has to be members of the Sanhedrin, so Rabbi Yehuda, how does he know that we need five? Gama Zikne. Ziknim is Zikne Eda. Mala Halon, where it's referring that if they brought a par when the Seber did an Aveira, it's Michodon Shve Eda. You have to have members of the Sanhedrin doing the Smicha. Says Rabbi Yehuda with Xer Shava, Afkan, it's Michodon Shve Eda, members of the Sanhedrin. Says the Gemara, E Gomer, if Rabbi Yehuda is already learning the halachas of Egla Rufa from there, Ligma Mekulam Hasam, so why doesn't he learn all the way? And just like there, the halacha is that smicha, according to Yehuda, was done by five members of the Sanhedrin Gedolah. Here too, we shall learn through Gzeir Shava that the Egla Rufa procedure is done through five members of the Sanhedrin Gedolah. And therefore, if that would be the case, that we have this Gzeir Shava, Zekenecha v'Shavtecha, why do we bechlal need the pasuk of Zekenecha v'Shavtecha lamali according to Yehuda? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda says, Vav of Shavtecha, the Vav of Shavtecha comes to add two more Dayonim to the process, Lemanyana, to the amount of Dayonim that have to participate in the Egla Rufa procedure. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, Vav Loi Mashmalei, he doesn't use the word Vav, doesn't use the letter Vav to add amount of judges, and that's why he only has Shavtecha, two plus Ein Bezdin Shokel, for a total of three people who went out, three Dayanim from the Sanhedrin who went out for the Egla Arufa procedure.